Today on Real Life Radio.
I am certain that when you pray, Satan gets upset. That's why prayer is so difficult. Look, if any of you say that prayer is easy, I need you to show me how. You know when you pray for somebody, how tired you get? Satan doesn't want us to pray. Do you think Satan wants us to witness to people? Why do you think it's so difficult? The moment we begin to tell others about the love of God and that Jesus died for them on the cross, we are stepping into a realm where Satan's got bazookas lined up.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series in the book of Revelation with a message called The Act of War, Part 2. Now, the Bible warns us that we have an enemy, a demonic force who's proven to be an expert at surprising us. Satan and his demons are always at work, plotting against us and ready to attack when we are the least prepared. You see, as we continue in Revelation chapter 12, we'll find Israel fighting against Satan during the Great Tribulation. Now, Satan's final agenda is to destroy God's chosen people, and he's desperately fighting for total control. His desire is to take over all human government with the help of the beast called the Antichrist. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that it's hard to imagine Satan's power. His mission is to rob, kill, and destroy, and to stop God's plan of victory. Ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan has fought against Jesus coming to the world. And during the end times, he's going to try to prevent his return. Now in his message called The Act of War, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That was the heart of our founding fathers. Opening up in prayer. In the Capitol, when you visit the Capitol building and you go into the rotunda, there's the little boat coming away from the ship of our founding fathers coming onto the shore of America. America to be. The United States to be. And the first thing going out over the boat is the Gospel of John open, wide open like this, and he's reaching. And it's got John 3:16 wide open. Listen, there are satanic powers at play. Church, register to vote. Pray, and then vote. There are powers at play. This thing, isn't it interesting that right now the United States of America and coalition nations are involved in a battle, and that land that is trying to be liberated, trying to be free. You guys, it is absolutely amazing to me every time I see the newspaper, as maybe you did this morning, front page, and or open your Bible. We're talking about the land of what? Babylon. Spiritual entities, spiritual powers. Satan is desiring to control human government to bring about his will. He wants to have humans as puppets to bring about his will in the earth, not God's will in the earth. But I thank God, you read ahead in the Bible, Jesus Christ comes back, and he's going to establish his rule and his reign. That's a beautiful thing. When he talks about this fiery red dragon having seven heads, these are seven kings, the book of Daniel tells us, seven kings and 10 horns. These are 10 kingdoms. Seven kings in the last days will preside over a realm of seven kingdoms or domains. And out of the 10 domains, or we'll say kingdoms, there are these seven primary leaders, and out of those 10 kingdoms with the seven primary leaders, they have how many diadems? Not 10, is it? It's the number what? 7, which when you read the book of Daniel chapter 7, you read about the reconstruction in the last days of the ancient Roman Empire. The world will be divided up into 10 regions of governance where there will be 7 predominant kings or political rulers. See, when I use the word king in America, we lose thought of that. Let's use the word prime ministers or presidents or representatives. Out of the division of the globe, the Bible prophesies that the globe will be divided up into 10 regions. Out of those 10 regions, there will arise 7 predominant political powers, headships. You say, well, that's insane. Really? Out of all the nations of the world right now, and by the way, we gave the courtesy. Remember, it used to be called the G7? What's it called now? the G8. Who did we include? Russia was included as a token to try to get their economy, to try to get Russia to be a viable economic nation. But isn't it interesting that for many, many years it's been the G7? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The G7? They would get together at least once a year publicly, and they would make an agreement and a pact on how the world will run for the next year on economic and geopolitical schemes. G7. Well, I'm not saying these guys are the guys. I'm just saying the principles in our mind already, where there have been seven predominant economic rulers. Of course, now today there's eight. But Satan wants to control human government. When you read Revelation 12, verse 3, and Daniel 7, know this, that Satan desires to have control over the human government, over nations, over cities, the direct influence. If he does that, listen, through one person, he can influence a few. Through a few more, he can influence others. Are you with me? Do you understand that? It's simple. And he understands that when he gets a king in office or a prince in office of some sorts in some land or a queen or whatever, that if he can seize that area or that person, he can have a lot of sway. But the Bible tells us that Satan is fighting this desperate battle. He's going to lose, even though he's seeking control. Hey, if you would, mark it down. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Isaiah 14, beginning there, is a very radical verse. Listen to this, church. Isaiah 14, 9 speaks about Satan's future. You got to get excited. Are you a Christian this morning? You got to get excited over this. It prophesies about Satan's future and his retirement program. Hell below is all astir to meet you at your coming. Ooh. It rouses the condemned spirits of those departed. They wait to greet you. Those who were once leaders in the world. Kings. Interesting, hmm? Ones that he obviously controlled. It makes them rise from their thrones, all those who were kings over the nations. They will all respond together. They will say to you, listen to what they say, you also have become as weak as we are. You have become like us. All your pride and arrogance has been brought down to hell, along with the noise of your harps. Listen, maggots, that's graphic, are spread out beneath you. And worms shall cover you. Verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning. You have been cut down to the ground or to earth. You who once did, and the word in Hebrew is kalash, poisoned, infiltrated, attacked the nations of the earth. Isaiah chapter 14, is that not graphic? Who's this fiery red dragon? You can sneak ahead to verse 9 if you have any doubt. Verse 9, Revelation 12 says, so the great dragon was cast down, the serpent of old, called the devil, called Satan. So we have no doubt as to who he is. And this is not, by the way, a description of what Satan looks like. Satan does not look like a fiery dragon. This is a symbol of what Satan's agenda and his nature is. When it speaks about him being the serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan, these are all words to describe to us that Satan is of this nature. Jesus put it this way. He's come to rob, to kill, and to destroy, didn't he? A lot of the stuff that goes on in your life and my life, you say, why is God doing that to me? It's satanically driven. As Christians, we want to bury our head in the sand and think that such things don't go on. Satan has his fallen angels, and he has also demons at his beck and call. And we're seeing in America, and we're seeing in the Western world, as the church vacates its place, we're seeing an onslaught and an infiltration, an attack of demonic activity against that which is righteous. Another thing that we see here is in verse 4, attempting to overthrow the angelic realm. Satan is desperately fighting for control, total control, and he's attempting to overthrow the angelic realm. It says in verse 4 that his tail drew, and by the way, this is past tense in the Greek here, his tail drew a third of the stars. Again, an Old Testament study teaches us that the stars are none other than angels referred to in the Old Testament, angels of heaven. And he threw them to the earth. This scripture speaks to us about Satan deceiving a third of God's created angels. Now, I don't know, you got to pause right there. We need to insert this. You and I better be careful about how we think and wheel and deal with Satan. I command you, Satan, I command you. Have you ever seen people doing that? The Bible never says to do that. The Bible says that when Michael, the archangel, and if we need a little angelology going on here, you know, Michael, the archangel, can knock you and I out, all of us out, with the flick of his finger, Michael, the archangel. He is one scrappy angel. Every time you find Michael in the Bible, he's fighting somebody. And the Bible tells us that when Michael, the archangel, fought over the dead body of Moses, fighting Satan, it says that Michael, in respect, did not even bring a railing accusation against Satan, but said, "The Lord rebukes you, Satan." Keep that in mind, Christian, before you go out and tackle some demon. It's not going to happen in your strength. It's the strength of the Lord. I have no authority but through Christ only. That's important to remember. The Lord rebukes the enemy. When, I love as the old hymn goes, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Why? Because that saint, when he's upon his knees, is in connection with the God of heaven. And Satan trembles at that. But his desire was to overthrow the angelic realm. One third of the angelic power was lied to by Satan. The Bible says he's the father of lies. And I'm fairly confident that we don't have much idea what kind of power that is. The lying power of Satan. The Bible says to be careful. He will come lying to us. He'll come dressed up to us in opportunities. He'll come dressed up to us in all kinds of good-looking things. In fact, the Bible itself says that Satan, in appearance, is beautiful. The most beautiful angelic creation of God that he's ever made. But the Bible warns us. He's deceiving. Verse 4 also teaches us that Satan is desperately fighting for control, and he's conspiring to stop God's plan of victory. There's a conspiracy that Satan has out there, and that's to stop God's plan of victory. Verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. My goodness, read the first four gospel messages there of your Bible, of your New Testament. That's all woven through the gospel story. Satan was there to devour this male child. Now, who could this male child be that he was against? What's the devil up to anyway? It's amazing to me how the Bible records in perfect detail the acts of war and Satan and his schemes, and his attacks against Jesus and any nation that take a stand for Christ, any people, any group of people that will take a stand for Christ, love the Bible, Satan hates. Ever since the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:14 tells us in Genesis 3:14 regarding the beginning of this attack, it says that the Lord God said to the serpent, remember Satan possessed the serpent. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go. Did you hear that? Didn't that freak you out? You say, whoa, what's the big deal? Last time I saw a snake, it was going on its belly. Yeah, but according to this prophecy, the snake didn't crawl on its belly back then. Ooh. What did it do? It must have walked somehow, or I don't know. Whatever happened, God said, that's it, on your belly. And you shall eat the dust of the earth all the days of your life, and I will put enmity, you ought to circle that word, warfare between you, you is Satan, and the woman. Who's the woman? This is very cool. Listen, the woman is Eve, that's the correct answer, but if you keep going in the context of Revelation 12, the woman is Israel. And also, of course, by whom Israel brought forth a woman by the name of Mary, who brought forth the Son. So it's very, very safe to say that in Genesis 3, here in verse 15, that the broad interpretation, understanding, view of this prophecy is not only against Eve, but ultimately against Israel, yes, Mary included, of the Christ child that would come. There'll be warfare between you, Satan, and the woman. It gets more specific, especially any of you biologists, chemists, or scientists. Between your sperm and her sperm, it says right here in the Hebrew. We see the word English, seed, but it's sperm. From your sperm, Satan, there'll be a war raging against her sperm. You say, well, wait a minute. Wow, that's freaky weird. I know. Look at it, study it, read it, and know it. How can a woman have sperm? Answer, she can't. Genesis 3:15 prophesied the virgin conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, and that virgin brought forth a son. Never happened in the past. It's not going to happen in the future. It happened here. God did it. And that's why the announcement is made in the DNA, so to speak, of the male coming from a woman. It is absolutely spectacular. He shall bruise your head. The word is crush. Whoever this son is that comes forth from this woman, he will crush your head. Do you remember the opening scene of The Passion of the Christ? I love that opening scene. Mel Gibson took a fantastic creative liberty in that he lifted this prophecy of Genesis and brought it quite spectacular-like into the opening scene of The Passion of the Christ. When Jesus is praying in the garden, is that snake serpent coming up to him? Jesus stands up, he rises up, and Jesus is speaking unto his Father, and Satan appears, and you can see the shadowy silhouette of Satan there in the garden, and the temptation is upon Christ to seek some other way to the thoughts that are coming against him. He's praying, and all of a sudden you jolt in your seat because Jesus comes down with his heel and smashes that serpent's head. And man, I wanted to jump up. I was scared at that point of the movie, but in my insides jumped up and like, yes! Great, great depiction of Genesis 3:15. Satan has always been against and has always tried to stop by conspiracy God's plan of victory. He started also, or I should say he continued in the murder when Cain and Abel, when they came together, and that terrible murder that was to prevent the royal seed. What about Noah and his generation? The Bible says that Noah was perfect in his ways. By the way, it doesn't mean he was sinless. The word implies in the Hebrew that Noah was genetically not polluted. That's interesting. Study that later. The attacks upon the patriarch Abraham, trying to destroy again the royal seed. The plans to destroy the children of Jacob. The attempts to slay the Hebrew children, as we've mentioned, in Egypt. The off and on evils of Israel's kings. We talked about that last week, how Satan sought to destroy them. The plan of Esther. And as we're reading it this week, or last week in our study, as the church goes through the Bible and our scripture reading, how there's this plot to eradicate the Jewish people. The numerous plans to annihilate the nation Israel throughout history. The killing of the male Hebrew children at the coming of Herod. Satan's attempt to cause Jesus to sin. And of course, the brutality and the horrors of that Passion Week commencing with Palm Sunday and all the evils that Satan tried to perpetrate against Christ. And what I'm sure Satan thought was a victory on his part come Friday, you know? Don't you think Satan thought he won on Friday afternoon when Jesus was in the grave? I bet you hell was dancing. They probably turned up the stereo. And thank God for Sunday morning, huh? Well, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, that then the 70, that is the 70 evangelists, the 70 disciples, all of them, 70 of them, returned with joy on their little missionary venture, saying to the Lord, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Why did I insert this verse here? It's beautifully inserted here in light of verse 4 of Revelation 12. Because, my friend, listen to this. And I don't know about you, but this excites me. I am certain that when you pray, Satan gets upset. That's why prayer is so difficult. Look, if any of you say that prayer is easy, I need you to show me how. Even when it seems easy, when I start to pray, Lord, you know, I'm asking you. And my mind wanders off to the stupidest things. Let alone somebody coming up and saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? I have cancer. You know when you pray for somebody, how tired you get? Satan doesn't want us to pray. Do you think Satan wants us to witness to people? Why do you think it's so difficult to share with people? When's the last time you shared your faith with somebody? And we all kind of, oh, shucks, Pastor, I'm kind of shy about that thing. I understand that we're all shy about that thing. The truth of the matter is, it's hard for us because it's not human. The moment we begin to tell others about the love of God and that Jesus died for them on the cross, we are stepping into a realm where Satan's got bazookas lined up. We share, Satan counters. We worship, Satan counters. Someone accepts the Lord, they step outside this church, they're driving down the street, what happens? Satan counters. This church stands up to preach the gospel, what happens? Satan counters. How does he do it? Does he show up in the foyer? Yeah! No, he shows up through antagonist and political means and letters and threats and this and that and lawsuits and all this stuff. That's how Satan attacks.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Act of War Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. The Act of War Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, this is David Jay in studio with my friend, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you, I am counting down until Countdown arrives at my house. I'm really excited about this new book. Now, it's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And it's a brand new book you wrote about the indicators happening today, you know, right now, that point to prophecies and end times events. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know what? Lately, with all the things that have been going on in the world, mm-hmm. of course, more specifically these last few years,
right?
But of late, with wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus put it, just quickly put together a book from recent messages that I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that people will find it extremely timely because, of course, there's been a lot added in between the sermon notes and all that are relevant and current to this moment. I think people are going to find it insightful. And the goal, of course, is to bring the hope of the gospel to people.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you mentioned the timeliness of this book with all that's happening in the world today. It feels like these days we might be running out of time.
Yeah, exactly why both the cover will depict time fleeting and the title Countdown itself. I think, Davey, when you look at it, people, believer or non-believer, there's a sense of urgency among people.
Yeah.
I know among those who are believers, there's a sense of urgency, basically to get the job done about getting out the gospel. But for the non-believer, I think they sense an overwhelming grip of things being temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal, for example, of passions are now quickly becoming not the answer. Unfulfilling, which it used to take a lifetime of pursuing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as people would say it.
Right.
Power, education. Now they're finding out really quick, wow, you know what? This leaves a really bitter taste, and I'm still empty, and I need to find hope.
Well, there you have it. The new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.